Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about reality dating shows like The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating.
Welcome to Love to See It, a podcast about the most and least sexy dating shows currently on TV, and also, obviously, Stagecoach.
This week, it's all about Lemon Drizzle and lingerie.
And as always, some great behind-the-scenes Bachelor gossip. We've got pregnancy announcements, and even more importantly, finally an answer as to why Mike Johnson and Tyler Cameron never became Bachelor, which I lie awake sleepless wondering about all the time.
Yeah, I know it's been a big thing for you, so I'm just glad that we could like set your mind at ease. And today we are joined by Brooke Ziffrin and Arisha Skidmore-Williams of the excellent daily show Rich and Daily, as well as host of the iconic podcast Even the Rich. Thank you both so much for joining us. We are very excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, this is an honor. Our worlds collide.
I know. My gosh.
So let's dive right in with gossip because we have a lot of material to get through. And okay. I wanna talk about, let's start with a happy piece of news, I guess you could say. Vanessa Grimaldi, who of course won Nick Viles' season of The Bachelor, but they didn't stay together for very long. She is married, and she and her husband, Joshua Wolf, are expecting a baby.
That's so sweet.
They really did that like very trendy baby photo shoot thing where she just looks like effortlessly beautiful. And you just look at those photos and you're like, pregnancy, maybe it's just only a good time, you know?
Or is it?
No, my understanding is no.
That would be, yes. As someone who's never been pregnant, that would be my understanding as well.
Yeah, Claire has been pregnant. And being near her, my understanding is also no.
No, it was a lot like this photo. I don't know if you guys really perused the Instagram the way that I did, but it really gives you the accurate impression that pregnancy is just like everything is in black and white, like the lighting is amazing. You look the same as before, except your hair is shinier and you have a very smooth, beautiful, like sensual bump that's just peeking out of your jeans, which aren't buttoned. And you just go around like that.
Yeah. And you're glowing, obviously.
Of course. I mean, it sounds awesome, honestly.
Yeah. We should all be pregnant.
Yes. That's what I'm pushing. I'm pro-natalist here.
This is a natalist podcast.
No, when I was as pregnant as Vanessa is, I think she's second trimester, I had sciatica, so I couldn't really walk. Oh my gosh. But aside from that, it was like exactly the same.
Yeah. Like it was a dream otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like the excruciating pain, but there was a constant spotlight on me, just lighting me really beautifully. Yeah. So
beauty is pain.
Ups and downs.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So congratulations to Vanessa and Joshua. Yeah. Very exciting.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can I just say something about Vanessa real quick?
Of course. Please.
And I know Brooke's going to roll her eyes, but my issue with Vanessa is she once dated Michael Rosenbaum, who played Lex Luthor in Smallville. And they broke up. And I just remember I went to his stand-up and he called it out, but she hadn't done The Bachelor yet, but he like called out how he got dumped because she didn't want to be in the spotlight. And she had just been announced as cast of The Bachelor. And he's like, she didn't want to be in the spotlight dating an actor. And then she does The Bachelor. So I'm aligned with him because I think he's the best Lex Luthor and I want him to marry me. So I can't in good conscience endorse anything Vanessa does. I'm sorry. Controversial, but it's true.
I think that to me, that sounds like an excuse that a person makes when they're like, I'm not into this person and I need to reach for a very specific answer. And they're like, spotlight. Yep. That's why, you know, it's not you. Just spotlight. Don't want that. Mm-hmm. I do want to go on The Bachelor.
It's not you. It's me. It's me who can't handle the spotlight unless it's in a different form. Like, for example, I'm on The Bachelor.
Which
I feel like in a way she became higher profile because, like, I don't really remember who was on Smallville anymore. But, like, to win The Bachelor.
Arisha's like, yeah, me either.
Definitely don't watch that show anymore every day. Nope. But do agree, she definitely is more in the spotlight than he is, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe I didn't know this bit of gossip. So thank you for, like, adding layers here. That's what, that's why we do this show.
Really incredible.
Happy to help.
So last week we talked about how one of the Bachelor Live on Stage shows was canceled. I think it was San Diego.
Yeah.
And we were speculating about why that might be. We were like, maybe the ticket sales aren't that great. And we did actually get a message from a listener who works for a ticketing company who was like, yes, the sales are absolutely terrible.
Wow.
Yeah, she's like, they're really bad. And I don't think she had a complete picture because it's just like one ticket seller, but it was like a big one. And she said, quote, I can tell you that ticket sales are, all caps, awful across the board. The SD show cancellation was absolutely due to bad sales. I managed our listing for the Boston show and we sold 10 tickets total. LA has only sold 25.
Oh,
rough.
No.
And again, this is just like one ticket seller, right, but like, still, that's not good.
Well, how expensive were the tickets?
That's a good question.
I think they range between like $5. They range between like 40 and 90.
Okay.
Which is really wild. I went, but like, we were given press tickets.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you were like, I'm not willing to pay more than $5 for this ticket. Yeah. I mean, it sounded, I couldn't make it because I was sick again. I've been sick like 7 times this year because I have a toddler.
Yeah.
But it sounded like if, you know, if you took your bachelorette party or something, it could be a fun time. But like,
it was,
I don't
fun.
Know.
I do wonder though if the price point is part of it.
Yeah.
Because it's the kind of thing where you're like, for $20, fuck it. That's a fun night.
Yeah.
But like, when you're in the 50 range, it's just like, do I care enough?
Yeah. But it's hard especially to put on a show that's that big, I feel like. Like, a lot of people involved in the production, touring, and then to be like, not really charging that much for a ticket.
Yeah, that's true.
What
I don't
happens?
Know. Maybe they needed to get smaller.
What happened? That was my big question after they got back. I was like, what happens at the show? Maybe that's part of the problem, too. If you don't know what to expect, you're like, am I going to pay $90?
Yeah, I don't think they do a very good job of explaining what it is. But it's like a series of live challenges and cabarets, sort of. We did an entire 2-hour episode explaining all of the details.
Mm.
So I will spare our listeners from going over it again. But it was weird and fun, and I was definitely, like, drinking tequila while watching, and that felt appropriate.
That helped, for sure.
Yeah.
Get drunk, buy a ticket before you can think too hard about it.
Show up drunk or, like, on edibles of some kind, and I think it'll be enjoyable. I also wonder if it's, like, who the lead was.
Right. Well, like, they should have just compiled all the guys who've come on the show to play guitar and, like, kick off their music career and just done a concert. That would have gotten those butts in the seats.
I wonder if Bachelor Listen to Your Heart had done better, maybe they would have done a concert series. But they tried the music thing and no one cared for it.
The funny thing about that show, my husband watched that with me and he was like, is that show coming back? Because he's a singer and he like loved it. He's like, is that? I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Let's get you to bed, Ross.
Yeah, come on. It's bedtime.
Oh, honey. Okay. I would love it if it came back. It was a weird show that didn't make any sense.
I kind of was into it.
Yeah. That's what I love.
Yeah. I liked it.
So let's move on. Mike Johnson went on the She's All Batch podcast and opened up a little bit about some questions that I personally had. Same. For example, why have you never been the Bachelor? Yes. I love you, and I love your smile,
me
and
too.
I want you to be the Bachelor.
Ugh, I love him.
That smile is like...
Oh, my God.
That's what they mean when they say megawatt smile.
Yes.
Yes.
Just like beams off the screen.
Yeah. Micah-watt.
So he said... Exactly. He said that he was in the running, definitely in the running for The Bachelor after Hannah Brown season, but that ultimately Pilot Pete was chosen over him. And we all know what happened with that. No need to go back over that. And Mike said on the podcast that he thinks he just, quote, didn't fit the mold.
Mm. So racist.
Think we all know what that means.
Yeah.
That's just another way to say.
Yeah, he's like, I'm like black and tone. I have a personality, and they just don't like that.
Well, exactly. And then he spoke about this again when he was asked, like, why do you think that they chose, you know, Matt James when they were actively looking to cast the first Black Bachelor over him? And he was like, well, I think I was considered more outspoken than Matt. Mm. And
I hate that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we assumed.
Yeah.
Like, I think that the sense with Matt at the time was very much like they wanted someone who was pretty green and amenable and not particularly politically outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, basically just confirmation of like the depressing shit that I think a lot of us knew and assumed about the franchise and its casting practices.
Mm-hmm.
But depressing nonetheless, and I would still love to see him as Bachelor.
God.
Well, it pisses me off because, I mean, this is just classic race stuff where it's like you're too vocal or you have too much of an opinion as a person of color. And it's like, can we say colorful language on here?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely.
And it's like, for fuck's sake, like when you're in relationships, like I want that. Like I want to see that. That's what I would tune in for more than just like, which Lauren are you? Like, come on.
Seriously.
Pisses me off.
Yeah. And that's what I think part of what we saw with Matt's season was, first of all, they completely ran it into the ground because they still weren't prepared for the issues that would arise with putting like a Black man and this diverse cast into the world of The Bachelor. And they just like completely exploited it and handled it very poorly.
Yeah.
But also like they were like, let's cast someone who doesn't seem that outspoken. And he didn't seem to want to speak that much on the show. And that's kind of not what you're looking for as a viewer. Like you're looking like Mike has that really.
He's like, charismatic. Great
charisma. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
We saw that
missed
with
opportunities.
Like, I will say though, like they cast uncharismatic white guys all the time though.
Yeah.
So, you know, remember Ari's season?
I was just about to say Ari.
Oh, I mean, yes.
Also, because Ari was drawn to someone who also didn't want to speak on camera. And so their love story was just them being like,
We had one season of a Bachelor podcast, and it was that one. And I remember being like, this might be the first time we see a couple bang because they're so boring. They're like, oh, we can show this. It's fine. Like, come on.
They're like, let's just go full Temptation Island style with this. There is nothing else happening.
Oh, my God.
I mean, now those two bland white people have an entire brood of children. So I'm glad for them.
Yeah. That God. Is...
It's working for them. We didn't need to see it.
Working for them.
He also said on the podcast that Tyler Cameron turned down the Bachelor role because he already had a ton of followers. And I think we all already knew that.
Which is it's the main reason to go on. Yeah.
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 It's like,
also, like,
what else was he going to get out of it?
He's correct. Like, he made the right decision. Tyler Cameron's, like, out here, like, being on SNL. Like, he did not need to, like, have more opportunities to look like a dick on national television.
Yeah.
He came off so well. You can he could have only gone down.
Now he can just fuck around, do a Quibi show about building dog houses, do some network reality show where they all pretend to be in Dirty Dancing.
I watched that.
How was it?
Oh, God.
It was fun. Okay. Listen, I'll watch trash all day.
She really
like,
will.
I truly will.
Oh, you're in the right place.
That's no limit.
There's no standards here.
I should have watched it. It fits my criterion of being a weird show that doesn't make any sense.
It was cute. It was short. It's an easy watch. I recommend it. I mean, yeah.
Let's talk some more about Matt James, because we have Matt also has some new tea out this week.
Okay.
Yeah, he has a book coming out, and I think he must be off contract as of late.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he spilling anything good?
Yeah.
Well, he went on Ashley I and Ben Higgins podcast, and they asked him kind of like what happened between you and Rachel, that because you know you were broken up and then you were sort of back together fairly quickly, like kind of fill in the blanks. And he basically said that he and Rachel both felt incredibly sort of hung out to dry and completely unsupported by Bachelor production with everything that went down, the like shit show of his season. And he also said that like even after the final rose, they were still in touch, and they actually left that evening hand in hand, like kind of trying to support each other, but that the show chose not to show that because they wanted them to, quote, stick to the script.
Oh.
But it's unscripted. It's a reality show. What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense.
Good question.
But she was like, this is all just real stuff that happens, but you do have to do it exactly the way that we planned it.
Exactly.
It really feels like a way of the show being like, we've totally fucked this up. Mm-hmm. We are now going to cover our asses by being like, Matt, you can't be nice to Rachel, because like how we're going to fix this is by having this conversation play out in this like reckoning sort of way.
Yeah.
Yep. And he can be like, well, that's not exactly how I want this to go. And they're like, well, we have our own image to keep in mind here. Like, I feel like that's always how they're approaching it.
Oh, well, right. 100%. It's about what the show wanted to put off, not what like the actual needs of these two individuals.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. And I'm like, what image are you trying to protect or push anymore? Like every image now is so bad related to Bachelor. Like, maybe it's time to shake things up and not go with your instinct anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just go do the opposite.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Their script maker is broken. They need to pivot to not paying attention to what they want to do. It's hard to look back on the way that they handled that season. Pretty rough.
Yeah.
I'm interested to read his book because clearly he has a lot
to
say.
Spill some tea.
So his book is out today, I guess, when people are listening to this, May 3rd. Mm-hmm. I am looking forward to getting a chance to like dig in. I hope there's some more good stuff in there. And Demi also went on a podcast. Everyone's going on podcasts. We're here.
Yeah,
reach out. Our doors are open. Come on.
The media of the future.
Like, we're like the old timers now. No one wants to come spill the tea on our podcast.
Yeah.
But our doors, you know.
You're just slumming it with losers like us now.
It's
just podcasters on podcasters now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I like it personally, but I'm told that you should be trying to get the tea.
But Demi is a podcaster now, too. So she has a new pod called Demi Goddess. Mm-hmm. And she went on the Morgan Pop Talks podcast, which is like a gossip and pop culture chat. Mm-hmm. And you may remember that after Marissa and Riley, who met on the last season of BIP, after they broke up, Demi posted some shady tweets about Riley, kind of implying that there was more to the story and that he was more at fault than people realized. And so on this podcast, she expanded on that a little bit, basically saying that she thinks that when he and Marissa were together, he prevented Marissa from speaking to Demi or tried to keep them from having a friendship because Demi was expressing like concerns about how he was acting in their relationship, which he was not specific about still. Mm. She was like, I was calling things out that he was doing, but I don't know what those things were. And so she's like, he was trying to like keep me from her. And now that they've broken up, like he's blocked me on all social platforms, including TikTok of all places. And like, what, that's weird. Like, why would you do that? So she was really kind of, there was a lot of like anger or irritation, but not a lot of specific detail about what happened.
Sound like it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what my takeaway from this should be other than like, I don't know. You guys don't like each other.
Yeah,
you did something, but it's just hard to make a judgment call without any details.
Yeah. I don't know why it's so hard for literally anybody that's like in the public eye at any capacity to just say exactly what happened, give me all the details. So I know how to form my own opinion.
Like, how am I supposed to decide whose side I should be on? It's
hard. Do you think maybe she's like drumming up buzz to reveal this stuff on her own podcast?
Ooh, we're going to have to watch that space.
Yeah.
Oh, God, she's gotten us.
Yeah, I mean, that's a smart thing to do. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to tell it on your podcast. I'm going to tell it on my own.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. And it's working. I'm already considering adding it to my listening queue. Also, I just want to say this was like tangential, but I thought it was really funny. She accused Riley of like putting up a front on social media by starting a law firm.
What?
And was basically like, what is that? Like, you can't just like start a law firm. Like, that's not a thing. And I was like, it is though.
Like, how do law firms exist if you don't just start one?
Right. I was like, he's a lawyer. Confused. Like, it's not like he's just a guy starting a law firm.
That's also a really expensive front to put up. Like, that's elaborate. Yeah.
I was just like, is she implying that it's a fake firm? Like, what are you actually accusing him of? It's very hard to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, like, you can just be one guy operating as a lawyer, putting your shingle up. Like, it's pretty, if you have a law license and you've cleared the bar, like, it's pretty straightforward, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that was about exactly. Would love to hear more on her podcast, Demigoddess, soon.
Yeah.
This is an ad for Demi's new podcast now.
Oh, man.
Claire didn't even know, but she was hired to chill secretly.
It worked on
implanted.
Me.
Yeah.
So we have to talk about Stagecoach, of course, because as we all know, Bachelor in Paradise storylines can be born at Stagecoach.
Yes.
Yeah. The seeds are being planted.
Yeah. According to Zachary Reality, who's been sort of rounding up the Stagecoach gossip and all of the various looks and stuff, attendees included Abigail and Noah, Thomas, without Becca, because she is hosting Bachelor Live still, Katie and John, Amanda Stanton, Becca and JoJo, Justin Glaze and Mikey Planeta, Alana and Chris, Kendall Long, Hannah Brown, and then like a bunch of Clayton's girls, most of whom were like sent home fairly early.
They're having their festival season. Like, this is their time.
I love that for them. I'm just, it's,
you got to get in somehow.
I'm laughing that they keep being referred to as Clayton's girls on social media. I think largely because if you were like Haley from Clayton season, I'd be like, who?
Who's that?
Yeah. Well, of course. I usually don't know anyone's name until there's like four left.
Well, exactly. So if you were sat home the first couple of weeks, like, I do remember Cassidy. Of course.
Yeah.
Hunter, she did make an impression. She did a lot with
that time. Kira, Sam, Sally. Some of the girls like Haley and Sam who went home like night one have been making a really big push to be at all of these events so that they can still be relevant. And I support their hustle.
Yeah. They don't have enough followers yet. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And they're not getting on SNL.
You gotta hustle.
Well, yeah, you gotta get on Paradise. That's where the real stuff goes down.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, they're compelling.
Blake Horstman,
of course,
in his new turn as a DJ,
was
playing a show.
That feels
at
like
Stage
a front.
Coach.
Never.
I mean, this man started. It's like truly started at the bottom. Now we're here. Like he started out just like banging everyone at Stagecoach.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Turn around, and he's headlining Stagecoach. I mean,
he's banging their ears.
Yeah,
I'm done up. Oh, man.
God, white men really just can fail their way up.
Yeah, seriously. Wow. God.
Yeah, if I went to Stagecoach and I just hooked up with everyone there, they wouldn't have me headlining a show next year. Just like misogyny, guys.
Yeah.
I might go just to double check that they wouldn't have me headline.
Yeah, try it out. See what
I'll
happens.
Let you guys know.
That's look,
true.
I support you on that endeavor.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the worst that can happen?
Just have a lot of fun. He is still dating Giannina, I guess, from Love is Blind, because she was there at his show supporting him.
She posted an Instagram saying, "I'm here for the DJ."
Nice. So,
cute.
Acknowledging their relationship. And according to attendees, everyone seemed shocked that Blake is actually fairly good at DJing, apparently.
Can people tell the difference? Like, I'm going to be honest, I can't tell the difference between good and bad DJing.
I can tell the difference between terrible DJ and, like, if you're bad, I can, really bad, I can tell. But other than that, no, I don't have any concept.
They're like, there isn't a 10-second gap between songs while he goes, shit, shit, what do I play next?
Right.
Exactly.
It's going great.
The other tea from Stagecoach is that apparently Justin was a hot commodity, which I you know, seems
correct.
How can he
not be? Yeah.
especially among the aforementioned women of Clayton's season.
Girls.
Yeah, Clayton's girls.
Justin's and, girls now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
According to Zachary Reality, some eagle-eyed fans spotted Sally, the woman who self-eliminated before filming even really started
because
she was engaged. Mm-hmm. Yes. She and Justin were apparently all over each other. So
you have to wonder, I wonder how many women signed up for that season hoping it was going to be Justin, because he was a top four finalist from the past year of Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly likable guy, very handsome.
Yes.
If I sign up for Justin, I get there, it's Clayton. I'm like,
I know.
Oh, maybe I'll just wait
for Stagecoach.
Oh, actually,
I am engaged.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. It's actually too soon.
Whoops. Yeah.
Meanwhile, we got another sneak peek of The Bachelorette from Mike Fleiss, who posted a photo of Rachel and Gabby at a rose ceremony looking very serious. He captioned it, "All good." Because he's just trolling the fuck out
troll.
Of us like he does.
Okay, that makes sense.
I did I see mean, that it's photo. Honestly impossible to tell from this photo what is happening.
I know.
But it's clearly there to, like, get people to start speculating that they're pitting the women against each other.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm like, they're probably just having, I don't know, a run-of-the-mill conversation in which they're not smiling, and it's probably nothing.
Yeah, probably.
But
they're like, so,
you know,
do you think they're going to let us eat the food this year? That's like all the conversation is.
They're like, the snacks that I put on my grocery order were not delivered. And I'm hangry as fuck.
Yeah.
I would get competitive because I would be like, that dress looks incredible on you. And like, why didn't they give it to me? You know, like every rose ceremony, I would just be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they both look fantastic. That is the one constant in all of these sneak peeks. I think that's it for gossip for us.
Okay.
I think we're going to wrap it up there. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about the courtship. Can you keep up? I like
love it. And we are back, and it is time to talk about the most placid dating show in all of reality television world. I love this show because they make such odd choices. Like, literally the end of the last episode was fully a cliffhanger where they were like, there's a big conflict. What will happen? We enter in this episode and they're just like, oh, we've moved on from that. No need to address.
They cut off last episode with Captain Kim literally getting in Mr. Chapman's face and being like, what you gonna do, bro, huh? And then open scene, there's Captain Kim riding away in a carriage. Well, that was weird, but he's gone now.
Yeah.
How did that conflict resolve? We'll never know.
I just love that they, like, build up these moments of drama and then are like, ah, moving along. Who could bother?
Yeah.
What are we, a reality show?
Yeah, they're like, you tuned in. That's all we wanted. Who cares?
Exactly.
I feel like they're taking the, like, time period too far, because you would do that privately. Like, you wouldn't publicly duel or whatever unless you're in the West. And, like, I just feel like it's so weird because it's like, show it to us. Why are we watching this then?
Yeah.
No, it's interesting that you would say they're taking the time period too far, because that's an accusation I would never make of the show. But I do think that the public nature of the conflict was, like, maybe he should be, like, calling him out, like, meet me at dawn. in the field, and like,
yeah, they
we'll
need to grab
this.
Their seconds.
They get their seconds, and they handle it like gentlemen. But instead, it's like clear that it didn't happen privately, and also we don't get to see it.
Yeah,
the pacing is also just weird. Generally, like, we start with Captain Kim riding away, and then they're like, and now a masquerade ball, which actually feels sort of like something that would happen at the end of an episode.
Yeah.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
There's no real structure. They're just like, and now this date or this event. It's just, it's happening. Don't even worry about it. There's no pause even to see them like getting ready. They're just like at another ball, and you're like, how much time has passed? I've no idea.
They do give us this little moment where they're all playing poker the day, I guess, of the masquerade ball.
Yes.
And bonding, like male bonding between the boys. Just an opportunity for what clearly they are staffed by Bachelor producers. Did you notice this? Like, Mr. Cones is clearly getting some Bachelor production because he's going like, oh, this poker game, it's so similar to what we're going through because love is a gamble. And also there's like the emotional ups and downs. Like, you win, it feels good. And like, you lose, it feels really bad. And it's just sort of like a lot like love and falling in love. No other show does this except for The Bachelor. It's their calling card.
Yeah.
As we say every week, this show is budget Bachelor meets Bridgerton.
Yeah. That's a really great way to put it.
That is, yeah.
The budget all went to the gowns.
Yes.
So they have this masquerade ball. We're suddenly at a masquerade ball. And the men are all just like hoping this will get kinky. I think they're all getting extra horny because they're all so sexually repressed by Regency customs. Last week, they were just like, yeah, when I'm stressed, I like to look at the boobs in the nude paintings. Like, they're not okay.
They're getting desperate.
They're not okay.
They're struggling. They're like my Finsta where I follow all of the like the sexy influencers is not available to me anymore.
Right.
My Pornhub account is not here.
Right. Yeah, you got to do what you can.
There's
do.
Only one bathroom, apparently.
Yeah.
They should just start scheduling those
sessions. They really should.
Fertility clinics.
I also loved how this masquerade party was like in the smallest room I've ever seen. Like, I felt like they were in like a, I'm like, what is this? Is this where you would have a masquerade ball? No.
I think they just wanted to hire fewer extras to make it look full.
Yeah. The bigger the ball gown, the more like the more well-trained dancing couples you have to hire.
That's true. That's true. That is very true.
So they've hired like four extras to put on
that
masks.
Was their whole budget. So
yeah.
Yeah. Dresses.
The talent of doing like the country dance, like it doesn't come cheap, you know? And Ms. Remy, as is her way, sweeps in wearing a dramatic gold embroidered ball gown that looks absolutely nothing like a woman would wear to a Regency ball.
But she does look kind of like Belle.
Yeah. She does kind of.
I see that.
I mean, I would have no idea what is a proper gown for that. So they got me.
Well, Claire can tell you.
I guess. Yeah.
I watched a lot of Jane Austen movies. They were not defining the waist back then, you guys. It was the floaty column empire waist.
Okay.
But they're doing just sort of like a historical period pastiche. Like, just like piecing together different romantic looking historical dress styles.
Right.
She looks beautiful. Yes. Wearing her mask with on a handle so that mostly it's not covering her lovely face.
Right, right.
The men, fortunately, are a little bit more covered.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of liked this scene. I think this is like the first time we've actually seen the Jane Austen dynamic of the heroine flirting with her suitors at a ball, kind of naturally, just like finding each other in the crowd.
Yeah.
Having a little moment. We haven't actually seen that happen. And that's 90% of Jane Austen movies. So I think there should be more of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was honestly a little surprised that they could recognize each other with those masks.
I know. My gosh.
A Cinderella story with Hilary Duff taught me you can't identify somebody when you have that kind of mask on. I was shocked.
I mean,
literally just watched that.
Wow, really, really blowing the top off of an assumption I've held since seeing that film.
Right? Yeah.
Great film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You cover the eyes and it just all goes to
yeah,
hell.
No one knows.
Yeah, you're like, who are you?
let's talk about some of her interactions with the men. She and Mr. Chapman are obviously going very strong. Mm-hmm. Previous front runner, Mr. Bocchicchio, is kind of in the doghouse. He hasn't been giving her what she wants lately. Mm-hmm. And during their dance, she asks him to make amends with her brother.
Right.
And he says, maybe.
Wrong answer, sir.
This guy doesn't want to win.
No, not a great answer at all.
Just no. The gall of being like, I can't even say yes on a show that I willingly opted to be on because I supposedly wanted this. I can't even say yes in this scenario. It's just wild to me.
Can't even say yes to making nice with your sibling. Like, there's, it's insane.
Imagine how that's going to go when he thinks he's got you locked down and you want him to make amends with your sibling about something.
Right.
He's going to be like, actually, we're cutting off contact and we're moving across the country. So good luck with that.
Yeah. Yep. God.
You don't even have to say, you can say like, oh, I really felt like I was honest about how I felt, but, you know, I want him to understand me better. So, of course, I'll have another conversation. Like, maybe, like, he's just being a dick.
Yeah.
But he actually does end up approaching Mr. Remy because a hot new suitor arrives and he gets a little insecure and he's like, okay, yes, I will go apologize.
Yeah.
Whenever Mr. Bocchicchio makes nice, it's because he's worried that a more attractive option has arrived.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, that's true.
I mean, this guy, Mr. Nazaire, is very hot.
He is very
and
hot.
Speaks French.
Yes. I get major villain in a rom-com vibes from him, though.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, this dude would really fuck you up. like just come on strong and then definitely not want a relationship. I was like, I know your type, sir.
Yeah. And his whole, like, when they were dancing and his just like, if you keep looking at me in the eyes like that, we're going to kiss. It's like, oh, my God. Does he have like a list of lines in his pocket that he's like, these have worked before? And
Is there just like a really hot person like class that's given only to like the top tier? And they're like, this is what you can do. This is what you can get away with. Mm-hmm. If you say it in this tone, it will be very effective.
He knows exactly the effect he has. He's like, he speaks French. He's British. So
poor Mr. Mumbray is just out here being like, the one thing I had was being British.
Which is so funny that he's like, I wanted to marry someone who only liked me because I was British. And now that might not happen. So, fuck.
Oh, I felt so bad for him. Like,
I know. He seems sweet.
He does seem really
sweet. And he also apparently like runs in similar social circles to the new guy and
I looked into this. Okay. The similar social circles appear to be that they are both like British influencers. Like, kind of micro-famous in London. Like, so, Miles Nazaire, his chyron says socialite. He's a reality TV star. He was on Made in Chelsea, and then he was on a show called Celebs Go Dating.
Wait, like, who is this? Who are you talking
about? Mr. Nazaire.
The new guy.
Oh, okay.
Wow, I had no idea.
Charlie appears to be, like, a trainer with a big TikTok presence from the little digging that I
did. So you're like, they have been at influencer events together, probably.
My guess is that they're connected through just like hot influencer of London circles.
Well, what's like, the British stagecoach? Because maybe they've been there together. What's their version?
Don't they have those like, there's like a music festival where it's very muddy because they're in England and everyone wears wellies.
Is it like Gloucester or something?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. I know they're always wearing wellies.
Yeah, they're always wearing wellies.
Oh.
So he's like, it makes sense. His whole thing made sense once I saw that. I was like, this actually is the kind of guy who would very much be cast on Love Island.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But he appears to come from money and also has like grown up knowing that he's very handsome. And so he just has all the confidence and worldliness that goes along with that. Like, he's like, anytime I want a girl, I just have to look deeply into her eyes. She will leave her boyfriend for me. That's just the kind of guy I am.
Yep.
So he does kiss her during their first dance because she wouldn't stop looking at him.
I think she kissed him, though.
She definitely was.
She went in. Like, that was, I feel like that was all her. But
I love that about Nicole, that she's just like, he's hot. You know, I deserve this. And I was like, you do. Yeah. You simply do.
Yeah. Go for it.
I aspire. And so this does very much throw shockwaves through the house, as it should, because she's starry-eyed over him. But Mr. Mumbray decides to regroup, and this is where we get a segment of the show that I like to think of as the Great British Bake Off Regency Edition. Mm-hmm. In the Regency, you can cheat by just buying a cake that someone else made.
Yeah.
But Charlie doesn't know that. So we learn that Mr. Mumbray is a baker. He worked as a chef for several years.
Is this his audition tape? Is this just like all of these men are all actually auditioning for secondary reality shows? Like, we're going to see Charlie on the Great British Bake Off.
Well, you make one tape and then you just submit it. And it's like, I can be dating. I can be baking.
He's like, I'm single. I'm making a Victoria sandwich under a tree. Like, you decide.
Yeah.
So he literally is under a tree at an outside table mixing up a lemon drizzle cake.
Yeah.
The British only bake outside. It can be in a tent, but it's not in a building.
Okay. It's good to know.
And he is making this lemon drizzle cake for Ms. Remy's tea with her court. And they're all enjoying their tea when he enters with his delicious-looking lemon drizzle cake. And they're all so blown away. They're like, this cake is so good. I'm going to eat this entire piece of cake.
When she said that, I was like, are we not past that point in our lives where we have to be like, just so you know, I'm going to eat this whole tiny piece of cake. I'd be like, give me that whole loaf, all right? I'm not fucking around here.
I'm like, that's your piece of cake. I assumed you would finish it.
Like, no one's watching you and being like, oh my God, is she going to eat that whole piece?
God, it's a real bummer and commentary on where we are with, like, body and food relationships as women in this country. It's just like,
I know.
Oh man, you have to qualify just literally eating a normal portion of a food.
Because for me, I was like, I would just be like, I'm going to eat this whole cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that we should qualify in that case because no one else can have some. But
right. You're like, to be clear, it's about I'm not sharing.
Yeah. I'm not sharing this. And I'm housing this whole thing.
Spoiler, I saw the new guy bringing in a whole big cake and I'm going to eat that one too. So sorry to ruin the surprise.
I'm just going to say that I think the lemon drizzle cake looked much tastier than it this did. Like fondant the covered one. Like
that was a showpiece. That was a this is Mr. Nazar just like interrupts with an elaborately decorated tiered cake and a bouquet of flowers from Ms. Remy and gifts for the whole court. Like, you're a man, you get a sword. Like, you're a woman, you get tea or wine. And those are the things that men and women want. And it was very, it felt very like, oh my God, like the lion, the witch in the wardrobe to me. It's like, and to you, I give this sword.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
It was bullshit. Let's be honest. It's bullshit.
Ridiculous.
You don't even know these people. You've been here an hour. Like, you're just showing off. And if I was Ms. Remy, I'd be like, I'm not buying it anymore. You might be hot, but I'm over
it. I feel like if I were Ms. Remy, though, I would be like, listen, I get to enjoy this. Clearly, I'm not going to marry this guy. He's full of shit. But, like, if he wants to be constantly bringing me gifts sweeping me off my feet with romantic kisses, like, now's my time to enjoy this before I, like, marry Mr. Hunter or something. This is my moment.
Well, I'd be like, next thing, bring a car. That's what I'd like as my next gift.
Yeah. Here's a list. Here's my Amazon wish list.
He needs to get her a gift because her brother got a sword and she got flowers. And I'm like,
yeah, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, one of these dies. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm so tired of getting flowers. I mean, I don't get flowers.
I was tired of them giving me flowers.
I'm so tired of it.
What am I supposed to do with this? With a sword, you can do things. You can cut that cake you're eating, the whole cake.
Exactly.
You can duel your enemies. Mm-hmm. With flowers, what? You might sneeze and then they die.
Exactly.
It's boring.
Yeah.
She should have gotten some piece of jewelry. Like, I just don't understand how he fell down on the job this way. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that Ms. Remy, whether she knows or not that this is all a gambit, she's like, well, he is the newest guy here. I don't know him well yet. He's here now. He says he set up a date for me. I was just enjoying Mr. Mumbray's lemon drizzle cake and him opening up more about who he is as a person, but I kind of have to go get to know this new guy. And mm-hmm. off she sweeps, and Mr. Mumbray is left with half a lemon drizzle cake and just suffering. Like, I really felt for him this episode.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Poor Charlie.
I just like the nerve of like competing with someone's homemade cake by just like buying a cake. I just can't get over it. I'm just like, well, I can buy you a nice cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mr. Nazaire has set up this gin making date for, I mean, it's like a gin flavoring date for Ms. Remy. They're going to like pound lavender with a mortar and pestle and then sprinkle it in some gin. Mm-hmm. And apparently gin was big in the Regency era. I would say that young ladies were not drinking a whole ton of gin.
No,
it was
probably kind not. Of
unchaperoned with a gentleman.
Or like ever. Definitely it was considered not. Very unladylike to drink, probably until like 20 years ago, to be honest.
Yeah. They would take the glass out of your hand to be like, no, here's some more flowers. Yeah. You're a woman.
Yeah. You the go ladies to these like balls. Flowers.
Yeah.
You go to these balls, you're drinking like lemonade, you know, you're not drinking a gin and tonic like as a 17-year-old young lady on the on the marriage market. But this is modern times. They're having gin, and he shares with her that his family lives in the south of France across from Saint-Tropez.
Oh, you know, just Saint-Tropez.
So nice. Many location drops.
I don't know. Yeah, he's like, I don't know if you've heard of these places, but Nice. A little town.
Yeah.
She's like, I'd love to go to Saint-Tropez.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, who
She's
wouldn't?
Like, oh, are you kidding? Yeah, Saint-Tropez. He's like, he knows. He knows the effect he's having.
I know. He's so, but effective. I, too, would like to go to Saint-Tropez.
Yeah. He's like, just so you know, Mr. Mumbray does not live there. I only see him when I travel many miles to a cheaper town.
If my family lived in the south of France, I would live in the south of France. Like, why would you want to live London? I don't know. That's it's his life. But he says that he's very close to his family. His dad loves to cook and taught him how to cook. He did not specifically claim to have made this cake, but I would have pressed him a little bit on that. Mm-hmm. I'm fixated on whether he'll be able to recreate that for me once we're married.
Yeah.
But Nicole's into it. She's like, the other boys don't have this sophistication, this suaveness, this worldly outlook. I wish they would really step it up and have family in South France. Quite honestly.
Yeah, seriously. These are all just things she's trying to tell herself to cover up the fact that she's just like, he's hot. Like, he's hot. That's all that's what she's into right now is that he's hot.
She's not going to pick this guy. She's just like, he's hot. He's hot.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's all just like, it's an attractive package, right? You're like, he's hot, but also he speaks French, but also he lives near Saint-Tropez.
Also, you could go to Saint-Tropez. Yeah, like, these are good. These are all appealing things.
He cooks, he cleans, he does it all. But like,
I do not believe this man cleans.
No. Mm-mm.
No,
not at all.
That's a complete lie. But he does claim to cook.
Did anyone else? So he was like, I'm really close to my family. It's what broke up my last long-term relationship. And I was like, oh, like, shit, that's, you know, family's important. I'm very close to my family. But then when he was like, I FaceTime my mom 5 times a day, I was like, she was right. To end that relationship. And I FaceTime my mom a lot, but like, even I was like, this guy.
You're like, that's a lot of your day.
There's like texting, you know. Yeah. My husband probably texts with his family at least 5 times a day. But like, if I constantly FaceTime came calls? In and he was on FaceTime with them, I would be like, I need a little space.
It's like Monster-in-Law. I just watched that yesterday. So it's like fresh in my mind.
Good J-Lo movie.
Yeah. But Jane
and they
Fonda.
Were FaceTiming 5 times a day.
Yeah, like Jane Fonda calls, what's his face? Who's the hot guy from Never Been Kissed?
Michael Vartan.
Yes, okay. I couldn't think of his
Which
name.
I just realized he was dating Jennifer Garner.
Oh.
Who married Ben Affleck, who's now with J-Lo. Oh, my God. Sorry, my mind's blown.
Anyway, Jane Fonda was calling him like 5 times a day. So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I was definitely getting red flag vibes from this whole interaction. And
yeah.
No, that would really turn me off.
That's always the thing that sounds cute when you first meet someone. You're like, I love my family. You love your family. Right. You FaceTime your mom 5 times a day. That's so sweet. And then suddenly he's FaceTiming his mom from bed and you're like, still naked from last night. And like, he wants to tell her about everything. And you're like, this is not cute anymore.
I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mr. Bokikio is ready to make a move based on what he calls the great feedback that he got from Nicole.
Oh my God, the job market and like corporate office vibes just continue to be a scourge on reality TV. He's like, I know I've been put on a performance improvement plan. Taken the feedback and I am trying to show you, my manager, that I have taken these notes and followed through.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Taking that on board. And he sends her a note inviting her to meet him by the fountain. Mm-hmm. And she is very touched by this note. She arrives. She throws herself into his arms. Mm-hmm. They do like the Regency version of like the run and jump hug.
Yes.
You know, burdened by all the skirts, but they do their best. And he's like, I'm going to make more of an effort. So let's talk about what we would do in real life. And tell me about your life back home. And she tells him that she lives in Seattle in a 2-bedroom townhouse.
Yes, I mean,
I'm into it. And he's like, I will move in and live in the second bedroom.
I was like, honestly, he's from New York. He knows. He's like, you gotta
get real estate.
Mm-hmm, oh, yeah, he also is a realtor. So he's like, he knows. He very much knows. He's like, Seattle, that is a crazy market. Like, you have a townhouse? Mm-hmm. I'm moving in.
Yeah.
And he tells her that his mom wants grandkids and he wants kids. And then he's like, and, you know, obviously plenty of practice before we start having kids. And she's like a little like looks at him like she's taken aback. And he's like, oh, sorry, bad joke. And she's like, no, this is exactly what I was hoping for. Like, this is I'm having feeling so connected to you right now. This is so fun.
Oh God.
And they make out passionately.
He's like, I'm sick of practicing with the paintings in the in the hall
during my 5-minute slot in the bathroom.
Nicole is like, she's just so ready for any sign from Mr. Bokikio that he is willing to do something other than like pout and be like, maybe, I don't know, I guess. Like, he's literally just like, I'm gonna try harder. Let's have sex. And she's like, I love this. This is great. Thank you for your efforts.
Yeah. You're so open.
Promotion inevitable. He's getting that promotion from his manager.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's like, please just give me an excuse to give you that promotion. It's time for the farewell ball and our second ball of the episode. And on the dance card this week, I was really shocked by these picks. Mr. Nazaire, Mr. Judge, and Mr. Holland. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, I see 2 front runners and the hot new guy that she's obsessed with. So
and
I
then
don't...
you realize none of them are actually going home and it all makes more sense.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I just wanted to...
She does say multiple times that she just really likes to like cut down men's confidence, which I really respect about her. So I think anytime she sees someone like being like, I'm never on the dance card, she's like, and now you will be.
Yeah.
Sweat a little.
Yeah. I respect
it. But then when they get on the dance card, she's like, I just wanted more time with you. And so it like, you know, it counteracts the ego diminishment. Right. But yeah, so she just has 3 conversations where she's like, I feel like you could be the one and like we have a spark and maybe we should just like keep exploring that. Great. Like go join the boys on the balcony.
Yeah.
Mr. Nazaire is last. And so he's obviously like, okay, I must be going home because no one else has gone home. And he makes a bold play and starts speaking to her in French about how he's going to show her what love is and like write her letters and have a little family with her.
I can't.
Unfortunately for him, she doesn't speak French because she's like, what does that mean?
okay, in this moment, I was like, listen, I get what you're trying to do, but this is a moment where you say just like one little off, like one little phrase. He said a whole monologue, and she's like, what does that mean? I was like, that was stupid.
He should have just been like, Saint-Tropez.
Yeah. But it's like, come on,
man. Taking it seriously.
He's doing clickbait with her, just like the episode, last episode did with us to get us to watch this episode. He's like, what does it mean? If you keep me, you'll find out.
Yeah.
And so now she has to click into this relationship so that she can find out the answer to this translation issue.
Well, she should just be like, I have Google Translate. Bye. I don't need to stick around.
But that she'll never know what he wanted to say to her. You know, like what could have been.
Yeah.
It worked. It seems, I think she had already decided to keep him.
Yeah, for sure.
I think so.
And so she does ask him to stay as well. And he says, you naughty minx.
She's just.
I hated that. hated it.
It's just like the classic thing that a British guy would say to an American girl.
I feel like it's his character on the show in a phrase. He's just like, I'm British and I'm hot and I know my way around the heart of an American girl.
Yeah, it's very much Hugh Grant in Bridget Jones's Diary. Mm-hmm. And he is that kind of vibe of a guy.
Yeah, he is that vibe.
Yeah. Yes. And she is looking, she told us she's looking for her Darcy. So... Oh. Not her.
That's
Daniel
not
Cleaver.
It's not him.
No one should be looking for a Daniel Cleaver.
No. But it's so appealing when it's right in front of you. And at this point, Mr. Edwards gathers them and is like, okay, so Ms. Remy, you had two jobs, dance and send men home, and you've only completed one of them. But I guess actually you are all of our boss, and so there's nothing I can do about that. Everyone have a great week.
And that brings like, we'll talk about downsizing the team due to budget cuts next week.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, although that were not approved by the board.
He's like, listen, the longer you keep these guys around, the longer I have a job hosting this show, so keep it up.
Yeah.
What he's having the time of his fucking life.
Yeah. What if she just like went rogue and had like a 5-month season and they kept being like, Nicole, you have to send people.
I want
she's
that.
Like,
to
there's no mechanism in place to make me do that.
She's like, you heard him. I'm a saucy minx. I'll do whatever the hell I want. Okay? That's me.
Oh, and that brings us to the end of episode 7 of The Courtship. Can't wait to see how many are left. It's up to Nicole. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about Temptation Island. Can you keep up? I like
love it. And we're back. I am very excited to talk about Temptation Island. Every week, I love this goddamn show. Mm-hmm. More. Mm. And every week I like find myself with new enemies among the men.
Oh yeah. Interesting. They're multiplying.
This week I'm just gonna let you know I was really, really out on Edgar.
I've been out on Edgar since day one.
Ugh. See, not I was not at the very beginning, and now I'm like since the last couple weeks, and this week I was like, he's my enemy.
Yeah.
Brooke, are you feeling like all of the men should have been our enemies at the beginning?
I mean, I feel like that every season. Like, they, like, very much frame it that way. But I'm sorry. Edgar, he's a little bitch. And he plays the victim constantly. And I can't stand him.
He plays the victim. He's playing the victim. Oh, my God. Okay. Yes. This is exact. I was texting Claire about this for days. I've been, like, seething. I rewatched it. And I got angry all over again.
I can't get over the fact that it never comes up. And he definitely never brings it up. And I think Jillian is very nice not to constantly be bringing it up. That he cheated on her.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like episode, it just doesn't come up.
Episode one, she's like, I don't know if I should keep this promise ring on. And he's like, she disrespects me. She threw that ring in the fire. I'm like, dude, none of that happened. Like, what are you watching?
No, he's just constantly like, she betrayed me. And nothing I do has any effect. But it's just I'm the victim because I was betrayed. Because she, like, showed interest in someone else. Oh, I'm over here having sex.
Yeah.
With someone. But, like, that's fine. Because I'm the betrayed party.
Thank you.
Yeah. I hate him.
Same. And I was like, I swear to God, if I get on this podcast and they love Edgar, I'm leaving. I'm shutting production down.
No. I was filled with rage.
Oh my God. So the thing about Edgar is that Emma and I both have, I think, a little soft spot for the Edgar type, which is like, he's so like skinny and soft boy and seems very sweet and is like, I love love. And you're like, oh, that's nice. And like, reminds me of like my college boyfriend or whatever. And then like the show goes on and you're like, why does he keep like gazing dramatically into the flames and being like, I don't want it anymore.
He's so
when
dramatic.
Jillian is doing exactly what you guys agreed was okay. Like, mm-hmm. It's very like weird. No,
it's
that
getting
you're
to the point where
this.
It's so manipulative. Yeah. And yeah. Okay. We're going to get into all of it. I can't believe that this episode started at the bonfire after poor Ashley just had to hear Lascelles wildly promise a woman he's known for like 3 weeks that she's going to be his wife.
Yeah.
That was insane.
He's like, I'm going to be everything you've ever dreamed of in a man forever. And I will always be there to take care of you forever. We've known each other for 8 days.
Yeah. I mean.
And I have a girlfriend of 7 years. Not
7 years. I can't.
It's like, I'm sorry for even thinking about that. She's not relevant to this conversation. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. Like, I should have forgotten she existed by now. So she.
Rage.
We finally see her react to this. Mm-hmm. And. Is just like, I'm confused why he would say that. I feel like maybe he was reacting to something he saw in my clip. Like maybe I said something like, oh, like 7 years, like it's gone. Like it wasn't enough or something. And Mark is like, why are you blaming yourself and keeping your shit together? You know what? I'm going to come up, walk over to you. I'm too far away. It's too distant.
You're in a safe place. Is he an aspiring therapist?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay.
He
was creeping me out during this exchange. I feel like he was just staring at her and was like, I need to stare at you with my creepy giant eyes
until you weep.
You want from a therapist is for them to constantly be like, I need to be closer to you physically right now while we process this.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
He's like, I want you to say to yourself, I'm worth feeling any emotion I want and no one else matters. What kind of bargain bin therapy is this? Like, literally, he's constantly trying to convince all of them that the big lesson they have to learn is that other people's feelings don't matter. It's like, I'm hearing that your mind is clouded by caring about other people's feelings again.
Yeah.
We're past that. That's it. That's over.
Yeah. That's a great point.
You self-actualized.
Oh, Mark.
Marky Mark.
He tells her to open the valve and let her feelings out. And she's like, I will. And he's like, I'm not convinced you will. Prove me wrong, okay?
Yeah.
He's like, do it right now.
Do it right here.
Mental breakdown right here, right now.
Yeah.
We'd all appreciate it.
Can we
just
get some
directive
tissues?
I'm giving you
yeah.
as your non-licensed therapist.
We'll all wait. Production will wait.
Yeah.
Breakdown now.
Whatever you need. Do you need some tear stick? Like, we got one in the back. But all the other women are like, you don't have to.
Like, do what you want.
He's like grinning with empty eyes, being like, prove me wrong, have a breakdown. And the women are like, it's okay. Like, it's you don't have to.
I'm really starting to enjoy the deep friendships that we're seeing between these four.
That's always.
I love it.
It's always the takeaway for me, like how much they bond, I think. Like, you know, it's like maybe real love is in your friendships. You know,
exactly. Real love was the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, at the men's bonfire, Edgar is like, going into tonight's bonfire, I'm ready to see how else Jillian is ready to hurt me.
Oh, my God.
This is when I was like, okay, I'm completely done with Edgar. There's no coming back.
Now, like, again, you're my enemy fully now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, you're writing love poems for another woman. You're not the victim. Stop.
Hanya actually gets to go first, and he sees Ash and Taylor having an emotional conversation, and then Taylor kind of grasps Ash's face and kisses them so passionately that they're like dazed and like teary and emotional. And Hanya's like, well, this is what I wanted her to do. We didn't set any rules. And she's making this connection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. Mm. And Mark is like, you're living in fear. You're afraid of your fear. You're acting mature, but it's all just fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark is like, Hanya, act worse. I'm like, Hanya has behaved plenty badly.
Yeah, Mark's like, take this gun. They're all very dramatic this season. Like, very dramatic, all of them.
I'm loving it.
It's so funny.
It's like, incredible. Hanya and Ash in particular are both just like constantly in like a main stage production of like Shakespeare in the Park. It's incredible.
And then Edgar is really up there too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Luke sees Iris kind of jumping all over Deke, the guy from season two who showed up last week, and telling him, you know, that she's a huge fan and that she's lonely because she doesn't have anyone to go to bed with. And like, maybe she should like, you know, like explore something more. And Luke is very like, you know, I know she's a fan of Deke. I know she thinks he's really funny on social media. but like, you know, I think she knows the difference between us. I don't think it's going to be that big of a threat. Or maybe it is. Maybe it's going to be a really big threat. I don't
know. And Mark's like, it definitely is. Again, you're trying to be mature, but
stop it.
Stop. Your brain is protecting you from pain. And that's bad because you should live in the most extreme pain possible at all times with zero emotional regulation.
Yes.
Hold your hand in the fire. Resist the impulse to take it out of the fire. That's fear.
Oh, man.
Rise above. Mark is really just like, he started gentle being, you know, sort of like, talk about what that makes you feel. And now he's really just like, feel the pain. Feel it all the time. Never stop.
Yeah.
Oh, LaSalle sees Ashley telling Blake that she is trying to focus on what makes her happy, which is like being with someone who feels comfortable showing emotions. And then he sees her kind of like letting loose at the bubbles and bow ties party where they all get like stuff painted on their boobs and butts by their single guys. And LaSalle is like, I'd like to say I feel hurt, but I don't. I feel nothing. And anyway, yesterday I told Trace I love her, and that was big. That was great. Yeah. So, like, Ashley who, frankly.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mark is like, wait, excuse me? You said you love her?
And Mark is like, I'm trying to get you guys to feel pain. Like, that's my jam. Not psyched to hear about this feeling love thing.
LaSalle's is like, yeah, you know, I was feeling guilty, but also... Again, fuck my 7-year relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm in love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's Ashley again? I don't care.
Right.
Some lady.
And it's just some lady who was really tying him down, you know, bombing him out. God. And LaSalle's is like, you know, I feel guilty about Ashley, but like I have to just move past that. And like that's not my job anymore. Edgar also sees Jillian at the bubbles and bow ties party. I can't say with a straight face. Getting her boobs like finger painted by Tommy, making out with him in the pool. And he's like, I'm just relieved to see that they weren't having sex. Because now I get to do it first.
Right.
And that's what I want.
And then he says the most annoying thing. He's like, it hurts to love her, Mark. I'm like, this is just like a classic thing that's like, I'm in such pain that nothing I do in retaliation to this hurt, I can't be held responsible.
Right.
Because like I'm the ultimate victim. Like I just feel like Edgar is really revealing himself to be someone that self-victimizes in a way that allows him to behave extremely badly and take zero responsibility for
100%,
it.
100%. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, like Jillian has been clear that she like feels guilty that she's had this good connection. She feels guilty that she is realizing she doesn't want to stay with Edgar, but she's not breaking the rules that they have set.
Right.
Or hasn't yet.
Yeah, they said they could make out with people. And then Edgar's like, how dare she make out with someone?
It hurts him to see. And then like he basically is like, I was lying to myself about Jillian. I was projecting the ideal woman on her, and she wasn't. And Mark is like, yeah, she's human. And I'm like, I kind of feel like Edgar is actually saying that, like, I believed that she was good and she's bad.
Yes, he's saying, I actually deserve my ideal right? woman. And so I will just go find a woman who will shape herself into the mold of my ideal.
Yeah.
And Mark is like, oh, no, humans aren't your ideal. And he's like, we'll worry about that another day.
Jillian is what I'm
saying. Let's not get caught up in the details. Yeah.
God. Edgar isn't ready for this show. Maybe when he's 28, he'll be prepared to learn
that
women.
Edgar needs to be alone for a while. Yeah. He's 23. He's not in a good way.
Yeah. He very much seems like he's 23.
Yeah. And then they all learn that soon they will get to send a 30-second video message to their partners if they want. Mm-hmm. And so they're all taking that in. And Ash is like, I'm just not going to send one. Like, I don't have anything to say. So, yeah, maybe I would say you are never worthy of love for me, but I'd rather say that to his face. So,
Oh, man. And I can't wait for her to do that.
I know.
It's like, do it.
I'm like, how many more episodes before I get to see this?
I love to see the rage bubbling up within Ash.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
And so then they all kind of continue to sort of explore their new connections in the house, by which I mean that Blake and Taylor broke out the guitar and they wrote a Jack Johnson style love song.
This was so upsetting.
Bringing me right back to 2006. I was making a mixtape on my computer.
Has there ever been a dating reality show where there wasn't a guitar brought out at some point?
No.
Does that exist in this universe?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's impossible.
I feel like it is.
Well,
I mean, if there isn't a guitar, there's at least a song. I was going to say The Courtship hasn't had a guitar yet, but Mr.
There was
Shanklin,
a guy who exclusively communicated in song. So
yeah,
they can go a cappella when there's not a guitar available.
Wait, Arisha, did you say reality dating show?
Yeah,
okay.
With dating.
Okay, because I was I can think of some reality shows that don't have people playing guitars, but dating, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's a key component.
Yeah.
The guitar came out, I was like, of course it did. Of course it comes out.
Oh, yeah. The fact that they made it into a tandem thing, I was like, does this make it more or less awkward? And I think it actually made it somewhat more awkward. It's sort of they're all having a romantic moment together. Mm-hmm.
I just loved how clear it is that Ash is so into Taylor that they're like,
yes.
Oh my God, that's the most beautiful song I've ever heard. Never been anything better. And Ashley is only sort of moderately, maybe kind of into Blake. And so she's like, yeah, that was so nice.
Yeah. She's a little too soon, but nice.
They're both so very that could have been really awkward when you think about it, but actually it was great. I'm like, so what you mean is it was really awkward, but you still like them.
Oh man. I was actually expecting it to be more awkward than it was, I'll be honest. At first I was like, oh God. But I was like, all right, it's not that bad. But
it was at least funny.
Yeah.
And they had something to look at other than the object of their affections because they were both reading the lyrics off of an iPod. And I think that actually helped. It reminded me of how when I was young, I used to be like, oh, I wish that I could have been a girlfriend of one of the Beatles, because then they would just sing me love songs. And my dad was sort of like, that's not really how it works when you're in a band. That probably wouldn't have been a thing. And then you get older and you're like, not only would it not have been a thing, I really wouldn't want it anyway.
No.
It was just a very when I was 12, I thought that sounded very nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah.
So Hanya, meanwhile, is doing this weird thing with Karina where he was like, first she's going to be my practice girlfriend. And then he was like, now she's my therapist.
Right.
Now he's like, kiss me, I think.
Yeah. I honestly didn't know there was any type of connection between them until this episode. I was like,
I didn't either. And Karina seems to be like, I kind of know this is probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was weird. I thought I thought she was his confidant this whole time, and then maybe not.
Well, I thought the behind the scenes thing is Mark was like, listen, stop it. I'm the therapist on this show.
Right.
And if you don't stop providing therapy to Tanya, I swear to God. So she was like, okay, I guess I'll just become romantic person.
I'll bang him, I guess.
Yeah. He's like, every fucking time that you're thinking of offering some therapy, instead kiss him. And she's like, okay. Hanya, I think in some level, like, was maybe like expecting Karina to try harder and was like, I'm being strong, I'm resisting her, but she's not really trying that hard to get with him. And finally he's like, I guess, like, you know, it's okay. I'll give in. Like, you can go for it. And she's still like,
she's
nah.
like, no, thank you. I'm good.
Yeah. She's like, I made eggs. And he's like, stop it. We can't do this.
Exactly. He's got that. He really truly was like, I was going to look like the good guy by just like resisting really hard, but I was still going to get to have sex with her before this was over. And she's making it really hard. Luke is like in a weird sort of love triangle with Paige and Megan, but it's not really like, doesn't seem that like physical really with either of them. He's just like flirting with them and hanging out and still kind of focusing on Iris.
Yeah, I feel like he's the only one who's really like, I'm gonna try to play this in a way that I can effectively be back with my girlfriend after this.
Well, Hanya's trying, but he's not doing so great.
Hanya's also trying. Like on camera being like, I fucked everyone. I cheated on her all the time and lied.
But he's trying to grow.
Hanya's trying to get cast in a traveling Shakespeare production. Let's all be honest here. He doesn't know what show he's on.
Based on what I've seen, I'm like not seeing any speaking roles for him at this current moment. Jillian tries to sort of suss out Tommy's level of interest in like a real relationship. And he's been resisting that. And finally he's like, I just don't want you to feel used, you know, if we kind of go for it and then it doesn't end up working out. We're not together after. And she's like, no, I get it. Like, that's okay. Like, doesn't have to be like a guarantee, but like, I just wanted to think that it's a possibility. And he's like, yeah, I just don't, you know, and it seems like they're on the same page maybe. And then in his ITM, he's like, I'm just not where I need to be emotionally with Jillian. Just like it's
I was
nice
so
hanging
confused.
Out.
Like he's all over the place during this episode.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He likes to be in control. He's enjoying that he's in control. And every time she presses him, he kind of like is like, how do I maintain control without, you
this
know,
this felt very much to me like, I don't know, like first relationships, like relationships I had that were sort of casual when I was younger and kind of like finding myself still. And it was like, oh my God, no, this guy, I just need to convince him that I'm so chill that it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And then he will love me and it'll probably work out. Not whatever, I'll be fine. And then like, he's basically telling her like, I'm not gonna leave here in a relationship.
Yeah.
And she's like, but maybe let's just go for it. And I kind of get it. And I'm like, you know what? She's 21. Well, maybe she just needs to be like making out with this hot dude who's gonna be kind of a dick and it'll be fine.
Yeah
We all gotta get
he
it
is
out of
cute
our system.
Though
yeah exactly
Tommy's like he's the so one cute. He's like, oh, Tommy, okay.
Tommy's like cute. I was like, I would 100% have a crush on
same.
Tommy.
Jillian
and I have the same taste, I think, in men. And I definitely have done this thing too where you're just like, I bet he's really into me, but there's just like something holding him back and we can just like the communication, like maybe he's scared of his feelings or like, you know, maybe he
Let me just create more space for him to really just like feel safe. God.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's not quite what's going on. Ashley, however, is getting pursued, I think, pretty like Blake is more the kind of guy who's like, I love writing love songs to be sung along to the guitar and I love and I'm catching feelings for this beautiful woman. And so he's just waiting there for Ashley to realize that Lascelles is not waiting for her and that she needs to focus elsewhere. And finally, she's like, let's kiss. And she and Blake have their first kiss.
Yes.
Very sort of innocent, just sort of sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very quick.
She's not that into him.
No.
Yeah. I think that what Blake is more is maybe just like, she's trying on a quality that he has that she wants in her future relationship.
Yeah, she's like, I'm identifying things that I would like, and he is giving me some things I haven't had before, and that's a great experience, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Edgar, because it's time for party night. The mm-hmm. two sides of the island have a party. The boys are having a lingerie party.
Mm-hmm. Of course they are.
Of course they are.
Of course. They all
a classic subset of parties.
Yeah.
It really is just like watching like a frat social calendar, yes. like the parties.
They're like, here's another way we can get naked in mm-hmm. within a theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lingerie, anything but clothes. Like, okay, we're reaching.
Oh my God, yeah. I loved anything but clothes parties. I went in a trash bag once.
Those were actually, there was parties called Anything But Clothes?
Yeah. People came in like police tape. It was wow. wild.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems like a staple.
Yeah.
From having watched two TV shows on which there are anything but clothes.
Yeah, Sex Lives of College Girls had a really great Anything But Clothes
wow. yeah.
Party scene.
Okay. I feel like frats had them at least once a semester at my college.
I just went to a school that like didn't really have Greek life, so.
Well, see, I went to a lot of themed parties, but somehow never had an Anything But Clothes party on the roster. So I'm learning a lot. I'm still growing as a partier.
Those in toga parties were very popular.
I have been to a toga party. Those were classic.
So the women all parade out in their lingerie and heels. Luke is like, I'm wearing a banana hammock under my swim trunks.
They were all wearing those.
They were like briefs, by the way. I was given the impression they were going to be more explicit.
There were a couple where I was like, I don't like looking. When Lascelles did his little dance... And I was just like, first of all, there's so much hair on his leg. I mean, I'm not anti-hair, but I was just like astounded by how high up the hair on his legs go. Because like on my legs, hair stops. I don't know. I guess I don't have very hairy legs. But even when I don't shave, I don't have hairy legs. And I was just like, I forgot how hairy a man can be.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I feel affronted by looking at these basically just these banana hammocks on these men. And of course, you're looking at their packages because that's where your mind goes.
They were all your feeling very self-conscious.
I was feeling self-conscious. I was like, this is such a reveal. This is why I like my themed parties of everyone stay home and go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite.
Also, it's my ideal vibe.
I just want to say that was a really long way to go to brag about not having hairy legs. Arisha.
Yeah,
I know. I'm just going to say, like, humble brag.
Seriously, I don't have hair on my legs either. That
Eastern European, like, Russian ancestry, okay?
Yeah. I was like, I'm not shaving at all. I was just, I have not used to seeing legs that have hair on them. I guess because I don't see people anymore. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. It's been COVID. I haven't seen a lot of new legs, especially the thigh region on men.
During COVID, everyone was like, I'm going to stop getting waxed. And mm-hmm. also we stopped seeing other people. So we didn't realize that they had all stopped getting waxed. And now we're just like really going through it. Lascelles does give Trace a lap dance. And then Edgar decides to give Marissa a lap dance. And you can just tell that Edgar has never given a lap dance.
I'm like, has he even seen a lap dance? Like, come on, Edgar.
This is just one time in several weeks that I have felt bad for Edgar, because I was like, to have to watch that back and be like, I did that and a lot of people saw it must be really hard emotionally to process.
There was licking involved.
I think traditional lap dances do not include licking as like a prime component.
He wanted to combine the sort of like pelvis thrusting with like their first real like sexual type encounter. So he was like, now's the moment. And he just dove in tongue first at that neck.
Yeah. He needs to like go home, watch Magic Mike a couple of times and then try again. Like there's plenty of research out there. Inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, both Magic Mike films are high art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every man should be required.
Agree.
Well, Edgar did get a lap dance once, like at a strip club, and fell in love. But then she went and gave someone else one. And he was like, I just, like, I can't love her anymore.
How dare
she? I'm releasing her.
I hope she finds what she's looking for. And so Marissa's like, okay, like, I still like him after this happened. and their relationship has finally sort of become physical. So that night, they decide to have their first sleepover, and they have sex.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that did happen.
Yes, that did definitely happen.
Which, like, definitely was against the rules that he set with Jillian.
He's like, why should I have to hold back now?
Right.
Jillian did a thing that I saw a small clip of, and it hurt my feelings. Yeah. So,
and it was something I agreed was okay, and but I'm not. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Let's have sex.
And she should have known.
My number one enemy. Okay, also I feel like something weird is going on with Marissa in the house that they're not explaining, because we see like Trace and one of the other girls go into the video confession booth being like, Marissa, they're just like, like they like each other. Like, what I'm not gonna, that? She's dead. Like,
that was so weird. I was like, we need context for that. I really felt like what they were almost saying was that Chrislyn was saying like, oh, I guess they're a thing. Like, I guess like it's over with, like, that's over.
Has she been on the show?
Did you have a thing with Edgar?
Right. I was like, where
is I've never seen her.
Yeah. Never seen that. And he's been only focused on Marissa for a while. We're missing a lot of context. And it's one of those things. I hate when reality shows do this.
I know.
But they're just like, oh, this is a fun clip. But they provide
no context.
No context. Yeah.
Like, did you come when Deke came? Like, who are you? I'm so confused.
We have completely lost track of the woman who came when Deke came. I don't think we've seen her again.
She was there today or on this episode talking about Deke. She was like talking to Luke about Deke and Iris, but it was like very like nothing.
Throwaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, you're right. But like, yeah, she didn't make like a splash with the guys in the same, quite the same way that Deke did with Iris.
Yeah.
At the girls' place, meanwhile, they are having their own party. Deke is like contemplating making a move on Iris, but like we don't really see anything happen. And then Jillian and Tommy take a shower together, and that's kind of what the ladies are up to at their party.
Less eventful.
Yeah. Also, I'm pretty sure Deke called her Irish at one point. Did anybody else hear that?
I just assumed he was super drunk.
I did not hear that. But that's,
I mean, that
incredible
one track.
He's like, oh, I love Irish. They're like, who?
She's looking like a little snack, that Irish.
This is also when Tommy and Deke go into the confessional booth, and Tommy's sort of like, I like her.
That was confusing.
Again,
that
Tommy, so is it all over the place?
They
I
also
fucking
seemed
know
so drunk that I actually couldn't tell if he was talking about Jillian or if he was, that was an extension of how he was expressing that he'd come around on Deke. Like, they get in the confessional and he's like, oh, we're cool now, we're friends. And then he goes like, I'm not going to say love. Like, I really but then it's clear that like he is talking about something sort of romantic, because it is like the possibility of
super
like.
I think he's talking about Jillian.
It was just, they were so drunk.
They were very drunk.
I feel like because they like cut to Jillian talking and then they cut back. So I just assumed he was talking about Jillian.
Same. Yeah. Maybe they tried to use that editing to make their drunken confessional make more narrative sense. And I didn't pick up on it. This is what happens when I try to fold laundry while I'm working by watching Temptation.
You miss one shot. I miss one. No idea what's going on.
So this brings us to special video message day. We are ending not on a bonfire, but on these video messages that they all have the opportunity to send directly to their partners in the other villas. And I think it's just a great opportunity for us to reflect on all of their journeys and who's going to end up together. So
these were telling.
Oh, yeah. And not in the ways I expected necessarily. They all kind of like dress up and take their solo walk down to a spot overlooking the ocean. Like they're like a bridesmaid in a destination wedding or something. And they sit down. There's a wooden box that's full of flowers and a tablet. Holding a video message from their partner, except for Hanya.
Unless you're Hanya.
We'll get to
it. Yeah.
Poor Hanya. And like a lot of them have been expressing a lot of like resentment or anger at their partners. And they clearly are all trying to be nicer in these video messages.
Yeah. But it's so funny because some of them, you can just feel the anger bubbling right below the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jillian's is very careful, but it feels like a coded breakup note. Basically, she's just like, Edgar, we've been so much to each other. I've grown so much with you, and I'm growing so much now. I'll always support you wherever you go in life.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like, be free, sweet bird.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Edgar's is the one where he's like, I hope you find what you're looking for. But he definitely tries to couch it a little bit more gently than.
But he's like, I don't really have much to say. His eyes darken. I mean, you can just, again, feel the bitterness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Jillian receives it that way.
Yes. Yeah.
She's like, oh, I know him. He's clearly angry.
Yeah. 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 You can see her face change when he says it. Yeah. She's like, oh. Right.
And Ashley is like, oh, I'm growing a lot. I'll be a different person with or without, you know, this relationship, like just growing as a person, as myself. And Lascelles is like very cold and robotic.
I hated it.
Yeah. Yeah, his was really there. I felt like there was no real emotion in it.
And it made me wonder, like, this is something that Ashley has said that like she doesn't really receive.
Yeah.
Emotional, you know, emotions from Lascelles. And it's like, oh, is this what it's like to talk to him?
Yeah.
Because then you really should not be together.
Right.
Yeah.
Because this is not
7 years of that.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
But it's hard to separate for us. It's hard to tell how much of it is that and how much of it is the fact that he's literally like, I no longer think of Ashley as an important person in my life.
Right.
And
But
the thing that really stood out to me is how much emphasis he put on being like, I'm finally figuring out who I am outside of my obligations in my relationship. And I'm like, okay, don't be a dick. Like,
he is being a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he actually came in being like, we're codependent. We both need to like learn to grow. And he has turned it very much into like an Ashley only problem over the course.
Yeah. He says at one point, like, you know, I know that Ashley thinks I failed her, but I know that I didn't, and I did everything that I could. So it's really, that's on her.
Right.
Good growth, dude. Good growth.
Luke and Iris.
Mark.
Luke and Iris have the most similar in tone to each other of any of the couples. They both.
Yeah, also felt like the most honest and actually productive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, they both say they love each other very, like, sincerely. Mm-hmm. And then they each speak to, like, a very real issue that they think is happening in their relationship. She is like, I want you to take accountability for how you've hurt me so recently and repeatedly and to respect my feelings on that and not sort of blame me for having my feelings about what happened. And then in his video message, he says that he knows he hasn't been the best partner and he's, like, working on, like, being a better partner in the future. And she's like, close enough. I'll take it. That's some accountability right there.
And he also receives her feedback, I think, pretty well. He's like, yeah, she has every right to feel angry about this and I'm hearing her and I want to be better for her or if she decides she doesn't want this relationship for my next relationship.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, this is not what I would have predicted at the beginning of the season. And now I think they're like the only ones who maybe should get back together.
I know. Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Didn't expect this from Luke.
Really didn't expect it.
Here we are.
Anya really shits the bed here. Like, I don't know how he completely drops the ball in this way. All he's been doing is crying and being like, I hurt Ash and I haven't been good enough for Ash. And like, what I really need is to finally send Ash a message that I understand and that like I see what we need. And he comes up with something that accomplishes none of that.
Nothing.
He's like a weird condescending robot in this video.
I actually wrote down the whole thing that I'm gonna read for us. Ash, I have learned so much. I trust you have too. I see you connecting and I'm so proud of you. I've come to realize that as I pushed you to follow your heart, I ignored my own. I didn't listen. I was living in fear instead of in love. Know that I hear you, see you, and I'm no longer afraid. I know who I am and what I want. I love you, and I can't wait to see you.
Mm-hmm. So bad. This is egregiously bad. And I was loving watching Ash's face, and you could just see their face, like, getting more and more fucking angry as they're watching this bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then Ash just looks at the camera and says, Anya has no idea how not to make everything a theatrical piece of shit.
Yeah.
Delivered a monologue from a Shakespeare play. I don't feel any emotion behind it. And then they're like, yeah, I think perhaps Anya has no ability to feel actual emotions and express them.
What's really funny about this to me, though, is that in this moment and always, Ash is also so theatrical.
Yeah.
Like, but in, they are super theatrical, but in a way that comes off as, like, significantly more authentic.
I'm just taking this moment to say Ash is being incredibly theatrical. It does feel also rehearsed and, like, stagey. Like, they close the box and, like, shut their eyes and say, why does everything sound so rehearsed when he speaks? And I'm like, if I were directing Ash in a film, I'd be like, you need to tone it down. Like, this is too much.
You know what? That's a good point. I mean, I'm sure that maybe that's part of why these two were drawn to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now that Ash has had some space, mm-hmm. and now that Ash knows that Hanya has been repeatedly cheating on them and lying to them, mm-hmm. they're like, fuck this guy.
Right.
And all the things that might have been appealing are now just like,
yeah.
Yep.
Grating.
Yes.
Well, okay, so coming from somebody who has not watched this show nearly as religiously as anyone else on this Zoom, when I first watched Hanya's video, I was like, okay. And then Ash's reaction, I was like, oh, okay. Fuck this guy. And it was just like, I mean, obviously they are going to know Hanya, and like, I'm taking, you know, their word for how Hanya is. Mm-hmm. And then like watching Hanya the rest of the, I don't know, 5 minutes or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, this guy really is trying to become a traveling Shakespeare performer.
Yeah.
I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He should be on a different show.
Yeah.
It's like the thing that actually did really piss me off before even factoring in Ash's reaction is that all that Hanya has been saying to Karina and is like, I've learned that I was wrong and like I hurt Ash and like I know that now and I want to like be the man that Ash needs. But he doesn't say any of that. What he says is,
right. He doesn't apologize.
I pushed you to follow your heart, yeah. But I didn't. I neglected myself.
I didn't care for myself enough all those times I was fucking other people without telling mm-hmm, you. That was mm-hmm. just because I was pushing you yeah. to follow your dreams. So,
like,
there's no apologies.
This is your one chance to be like, I'm sure you saw me confirming that I did cheat on you. And like, this has made me realize what an asshole I was to have ever hurt you in that way. I'm learning to be a better partner.
Start crying now, Hanya. You were just weeping. Start crying. He really just could have done so much here. And instead, mm-hmm. he did nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did find it really satisfying that ultimately Ash did not even send Hanya a message.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and I love that he points was like, out, he's like, yeah. I think that I'm getting a message despite there being no video.
You think?
I was like, I think they called scene. You can stop for acting like you're on a stage.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He thinks he's so profound. That's the thing.
I know.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
We get it.
I do see what drew them together in the way that they both mm-hmm. feel that sense of drama in the everyday. And but it's true. I'm sure that Ash feels like, well, there's something very real and tender beneath that. And like, does Hanya even have that? And if he does, can he show it to me? Or is it just like a simulacrum that's like playing out mm-hmm. while I'm doing something that's rooted in real feeling?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm dying to see them get together and like really hash this out.
I just want all of these people, women and non-binary people, to triumph. Mm-hmm. And I don't really care about the men, but I hope they grow.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts before we wrap Temptation Island?
No, just fuck Edgar, I guess.
Seriously.
Just bring it back to that real quick.
That about sums it up.
I can't wait to see Jillian's reaction to the clip of what he did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know that's going to be
making me wait
so
for
much
it.
To look forward to. Brooke and Arisha, thank you both so much. This has been truly so much fun. Yes. Please come back anytime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. Can you tell the people where to find you and your work?
Yeah. I'm on socials at Arisha Skid Dubs. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. I'm on Instagram only because Twitter is a dumpster fire. At Brooke Ziffrin. And you can find our podcasts wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's it for Love to See It with Emma and Claire. Thanks to our guests, Brooke and Arisha of Rich and Daily and Even the Rich.
Love to See It is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray, and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Tamika Weatherspoon. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv, and our art is by Celine Chang. Josephine Martirana is our executive producer.
And if you like the show, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review. And of course, help spread the word, especially to your friends who used to listen to us as Here to Make Friends.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at claireandemmapod@gmail.com with your questions, voice memos, and suggestions for shows you'd like to see us cover in the Bachelor off-season.
You can also find us on TikTok and Twitter at Love to See It Pod and on Instagram at claireandemmapod. And you can find our newsletter, Rich Text, on Substack at claireandemma.substack.com. I think we will have an episode on Selling Sunset coming soon.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. We'll be back next week with more gossip and more on the courtship and Temptation Island. Can you keep up? I like
love it. Stitcher.